Rick Dhaliwal. Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Dhali.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Dhali.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
8:02 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Sweet, sweet Friday. You are listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dhalari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dhalari difference today by visiting your nearest Dhalari Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. It is What We Learn time coming up at 8:30, along with Ask Us Anythings. We're giving away a $100 gift card to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway for the best Ask Us Anything. I might have to give the gift card to Jason, though, because
Bruff's I'm going to take it.
Bruff's Ask Us Anything.
I actually asked it with a pizza emoji.
He did. He texted it in.
I'm like, pizza emoji.
You don't have to text it in. You're right next to me. The question was, can you the feedback has been great already.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone accusing us if we don't have kids. I don't know how you took that from that, but that's fine. reset the question before we get to Dhaliwal.
If you moved to Vancouver as an adult and you already had an NHL team that you cheered for, should you encourage your kids to be fans of your team, or should you say you're in Vancouver now, you're a Canucks fan?
Okay. It's a really good Ask Us Anything. It's elicited a lot of responses into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Real quick, we are in hour three of the program. Dhaliwal is going to join us in just a moment here. Hour three is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today.
We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintec, to the phone lines we go. He is one half of the dynamic duo known as Donnie and Dhali on Czech TV. Rick Dhaliwal now on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Rick?
Gentlemen, let's go, let's go, it's Friday.
That's the energy we like, Rick. Rick's fired up. We're all fired up. How excited are you for Sunday, bud?
Very much so. Think about this fan base in the last 10 years. And despite 10 years of bleep hockey, they still fill the rink every night. The owners, you know, the owner's very lucky here. The crowds didn't go down 8,000, 9,000 like they did in the 80s. This fan base filled the rink the last 10 or 11 years during some bad hockey teams, no playoffs. They waited too long for this. Halford, it's here. And Sunday, more than anyone else, it's for the fans who have suffered here. You know, I look at Detroit's gone 8 years, no playoffs. Buffalo's gone 13, no playoffs. Arizona just ended a long streak. Florida ended a long streak a couple of years ago. Arizona's in 11 out of 12, no playoffs. You're seeing around the league.
They also lost their team. I feel like that's relevant.
Well, okay, you can say now Salt Lake or whatever they're going to be called, Utah. But you're starting to see fan bases around the league miss playoffs for like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. Vancouver got stuck too, but they still filled the rink. And, you know, we were the ones going to the Coliseum in the 80s when there was 8,000 against Quebec on a Tuesday night. But that's not happening anymore. This is one of the strongest hockey markets in the NHL, and they've proven that by going to the rink when there was no playoffs. And Sunday is everything to do with them, and it's their big night on Sunday.
How do you think the Canucks match up against the Preds?
Well, first of all, I want to say most people I talk to are picking the Canucks. But it won't be easy. The Canucks swept the season series, but the last meeting was in mid-December. If you take a peek at the Nashville newspapers, they're trumping the fact since the last meeting, Nashville's won more games than Vancouver. And since February 1st, the Predators are second in the NHL in goals for and second in power play. They also had that 18-game unbeaten streak. So only problem for Nashville, they've been off since Tuesday. They could be rusty. Both teams, I'm going to tell you this much right now, both teams did not want to start game one next Tuesday, and they let the league know in no uncertain terms. It'll be a series that's going to have the most travel in round one by a long shot. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the one. Okay, you throw in the travel with the fact Nashville is fourth in the NHL in hits. The Canucks are fifth. I got a feeling whoever comes out of this, they're going to be feeling it. It's going to be a physical series. I mean, Nashville's got some big boys who like to hit, but I don't see a drop-off for the Canucks in the playoffs from how they played in the regular season because of Rick Tocchet. All season, he never let them get complacent, never let them read their press clippings. The structure's there. The culture of getting better every day is there. The accountability is there. This guy's going to have them prepared and ready to go on Sunday. But the one area most people are concerned with the Canucks, is the lack of playoff experience on the roster, especially the core players. 818 playoff games for the Predators, led by Ryan O'Reilly and Ryan McDonagh. And don't forget, a good chunk of their players were in the Stanley Cup final in 2017. 482 playoff games for the Canucks. Teddy Bluger and Ian Cole have won the Stanley Cup. Cole's got 116 playoff games under his belt. No one else is even close to that on the Canucks roster. So a big reason why they signed Cole was that experience. And so there you go. There's a lot of factors to take in. But, this is a series that I think most people are picking Vancouver to win.
Anything to take from last night's game against the Winnipeg Jets?
They got through with no injuries. Mission accomplished. It was a mean-nothing game for both teams. I'm a little surprised they didn't give Hughes the night off. I really thought they would. He still played 22, 23 minutes. Hironic could be battling something, just like Besser. The plan with Demko was always to play the final two games, get the reps in before the playoffs. The team's 100% healthy. When is the last time the regular season ended in this city and the Canucks were 100% healthy? Like, I don't know if you guys can remember. I don't. I think last year, this time, didn't they have 9-10 guys injured and they had a half of Abbotsford up? One thing I like about last night, Garland getting his 20th. 14 points last 14 games. This guy had 3 goals in December. Think about where his head was the day before the regular season opener when the story broke that his agent had permission to seek a trade. Now he hits 20 goals. He seems like he's the happiest guy on the team. Fans chanting his name. So that was pretty cool to see him get 20 after, the one day before the regular season. The guy was set 3 goals at Christmas or whatever it was in December, and for him to pour it on in the second half was pretty nice.
Rick, I might be putting you on the spot here, but what is the biggest X factor for you in this series? The wild card factor could go the Canucks' way, but it may go against the Canucks as well.
I first of all, I think up the middle of the ice, they win the battle. I think their centers, I think the X factor is their centers. Miller, Pettersson, Lindholm, Bluger. I don't think matchup-wise, Nashville can compete with that. And Lindholm, 5 points last 6 games. He's healthy. He's coming on. He's still not, what everyone expected when they traded for him. But I think the X factor is that their center group is much stronger than Nashville's center group. And that, for me, you can say whatever you want about the Lindholm trade, but the one thing that did, I know they wanted him in the top 6 to be a winger with Pettersson and have, a ton of chemistry and light it up. But him going to the third line center spot gives Vancouver an absolute great 4 sets of center in this series. I don't think Nashville's there. I think the Canucks up the middle are way stronger. And I think that's going to bode well for Vancouver. Everywhere else, the goaltending, Demko, the defense, don't underestimate Nashville. McDonough's played a ton of games with the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. He's won Stanley Cups. That blue line, and they also got Lauzon, who broke a record this year for the most hits in the NHL one season. Think about that for a second. You got Luke Shen. That's a big physical defense. This is going to be a physical series. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing the hits after every game and who led in the hit department. That's going to be big for me. But I think the X factor is the Canucks up the middle. I think they're stronger in Nashville.
Well, I can hear Donnie in the background there. I've also heard Donnie brings up Pettersson almost as much as I do. What has Donnie thought about Pettersson's game heading into the playoffs?
Donnie's Pettersson's number one fan. Number one fan. Nobody pumps Pettersson more than Taylor in the market. Yikes. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. Did you see the year-end awards? And it was Miller, exciting MVP, That's a guy that's got to be in the year-end awards for me, you know. And, you know, you're going to get a big, huge raise. Everyone's going to have their eyes on Patterson. And, you know, I think last night, he didn't have any shots on that, did he not?
No, he didn't. He had some chances to shoot, but he passed them up.
He passed him up, but I think he's only got two or three shots. He's got to shoot. He's got a wonderful shot. He's a guy that a lot of eyes are going to be on because he's got to be a difference maker in the top six. And, you know, Miller's doing his part, got over 100 points, and he's your emotional leader, Miller. But, I mean, you nailed it. A lot of eyes will be on Pettersson in this playoff series. There's no question in my eyes. And especially if things don't go the way they do for the Canucks, I think that could be the hot-button subject for Vancouver fans for sure.
Are you at all surprised that the Canucks didn't move to or haven't re-signed any of their pending UFAs?
You know what's funny is that Jim Rutherford said a couple of weeks ago that it's possible a free agent could sign before the playoffs. Well, we all thought he was talking about UFAs, but he was talking about the RFA, Vasily Podkolzin. So they started talks with Podkolzin a while back. That's the guy, when Rutherford told Ian McIntyre we could sign a free agent before the playoffs, that's the guy he was talking about. It wasn't UFAs. It was Podkolzin. I'm not hearing anyone's close with the UFAs. But the big one for me is Joshua, guys. Did you see his 18th goal against the Flames the other night? He picked the corner pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's 18 goals in 63 games. That's a 24-goal pace. I got to double-check this, but he was one hit shy of the team record for hits in a season held by Max Lapierre. I think he had 244 and 211.
And he's a good penalty killer.
And he had 243 hits, led the Canucks, one off the record with 19 games missed. If he hits July 1st, there's going to be significant interest. A big guy like that can hit and score and fight. You know, he was on a 24-goal pace. He's in a good spot. I'm hearing right now there's still lots of work to do before he signs with the Canucks. This is a priority signing for Vancouver. They have lots of time to get it done. But his agent's got really good ammunition to command over $3 million a year. Can the Canucks get there? Time will tell.
So I know it's not a front-burner issue, but I know you wanted to talk about Klimovich and his year in Abbotsford and the future for him.
Yeah, I know it's not front burner, but it's important, and I'll tell you why. Klimovich, 2 goals, 2 assists in 24 games. 21-year-old was drafted in the second round in 2021. 17 goals last year, but this season, not much has gone right. It's not been good. Some believe he should never have been put in the American Hockey League after he was drafted. This kid should have gotten junior. Next year is going to be his fourth year in Abbotsford with no NHL call-ups. He can't get into the lineup these days. He's a healthy scratch. And yet, some games the team goes with 11 forwards, and he's still sitting in the press box. I don't think Dan Milstein's doing cartwheels right now about his season and the way it's gone. This kid came out of the draft with a ton of promise, good size, skill. Now you can't get in the lineup. In the last 4 years in the draft, the Canucks only drafted wingers in the first three rounds, Lekera, Mackey, and Klimovich. It's not an area of strength for the team when it comes to prospects. Time will tell what happens here, but getting Klimovich back on the right track should be very important. It is very important. This is not an organization flush with winger prospects. It has not been a good year for his development, to say the least.
What was the reason that he went to the AHL?
It was the previous regime. It was the previous regime. And he was a big kid. He was a thick kid. He was, I think, 6'2", either at 200 pounds or close to 200 pounds. To put him in the American League, look, that and there are people today who think that was a mistake, but that was a call made by the previous regime. And so now you're going to tell this kid to go back to Abbotsford next year for the fourth straight year. He's had no NHL call-ups. That kid should have played junior. That kid, he should have gone to junior, lit it up, scored 50 goals. I think he was, there was a team in the Quebec League that had his rights. I'm pretty sure about that. But that this is now, you know, he can't get in the lineup. He's a healthy scratch, you know, and this is, and, you know, everyone's going to bring up Logan Stankovic, who, you know, was taken 6 or 7 picks after Klimovich, and he's in the Dallas Stars lineup. So now you're going to start seeing a lot of that stuff as well. He's gone backwards this year, and I think that it's not good.
Yeah, because I remember when Klimovic was drafted, Benning actually said he'll probably go to the Q. And then for whatever reason, they changed their mind. Anyway, not front burner issue, but...
No, it's something to keep an eye on. And when you look, it is kind of too, Jason, because the Canucks have nine UFAs, and they're not going to sign all nine.
Yeah, no, that's true. They need to develop some young kids down there.
They need to develop kids that are going to be knocking on the door. And they need guys knocking on the door every year. And they need guys going to training camp and pushing roster spots. And they need guys like – but this is a second-round pick, too, Jason. It's not a fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh-round pick. And if you look at the Klimovic draft, you know, there wasn't – it was him in the second, and I think they didn't get another pick till fifth or something like that. He's their only hope in that draft to play in the NHL someday. So it hasn't been good.
Rick, this was great, man. Thanks for doing it. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Should be a good one. We'll be doing this again next Friday.
You got it.
That was the same.
Nobody pumps Pettersson more than Taylor in the market.
Yeah. Jeez. That was like one of six innuendos
in
that call.
That's going in the bank.
The best is that all of them are so unintentional.
Sorry, one more time.
It doesn't mean a single thing that he says.
Nobody pumps Pettersson more than Taylor in the market.
There's not even a better way to say that. That's Rick. Okay.
The number one Pettersson pumper.
Yeah.
Quite the title.
As you can see by my shirt, number one Pettersson pumper. I am indeed.
As a t-shirt. They make t-shirts.
I think my number one Pettersson pumper t-shirt will answer all further questions about my Pettersson pumping.
He's okay. Trying to interview Petey in a scrum. He's wearing the t-shirt.
Okay. What we learned.
I hear the guy.
I'm going to clean this up a little bit here in a literal sense. We got a few things that we need to mention in terms of what we learned from the National Hockey League. The awards, three trophies solidified last night. Nikita Kucherov wins the Art Ross. That is because Nathan MacKinnon did not get 6 points last
night. He got two.
Yeah, he was close, but not that close. So congrats to Nikita Kucherov. Austin Matthews, as many know, won the Rocket Richard Trophy with 69 goals.
Nice. Connor. I don't really want to give him the nice, though, because he's on the Leafs.
Yeah, that's fair. Hellebuck won the Jennings, which has changed... I keep forgetting it. It used to be the best goalie tandem, but now it's the minimum 25 games played with the fewest goals.
That's the way it's been for a while, the 25 game.
But I liked it back in the day.
If you remember, the Canucks actually put Schneider into a game for 30 seconds at the end of it just so he could reach the threshold. The Jets didn't do that. Brossoit finished two games short.
And most notably, Quinn Hughes finished as your top defenseman scorer. First time a Canuck has ever done that with 92 points. Also, on the news of the NHL.
Who won the plus-minus award?
I don't know, actually. Not Bedard.
Someone look that up. One of you two. Dogs, look up plus-minus winner this year. I want to read the Bud Light plus-minus award. Jeff Schultz won it 1 year for the Washington Capitals.
Oh, congratulations to Gustav Forsling.
Nice!
Former Canucks draft pick.
It all comes full circle
A plus-56 with the Florida Panthers. Quinn Hughes was in the race.
Yeah. He won the Canucks Bud Light award.
Forsling cleared it by 10 pluses, though.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the green jacket
goes to
William Eklund of the San Jose Sharks, who really took advantage of the par fives and finished 45 under.
Hey, Bedard was minus 44 in only 68 games.
Yeah, imagine.
So he was one off the lead. Mm. I'd give it to Bedard.
Minus 45 is pretty cool.
He was minus three last night.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's horrible for your career.
A lot of Sharks and Blackhawks in there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Philip Kurashev got it to 44 under, but... couldn't quite finish the job.
Took that stupid penalty last night.
Yeah, they should give him a bonus minus for that.
Okay, so that's the awards part of things. We have not mentioned that yesterday, the not-so-insignificant news that the NHL officially confirmed the move to Utah. So since we're up against it for time, I'll just kind of go bullet points on this one. The Coyotes do officially become inactive. It's like if they want to start things back up, they got to push the activate button, and then boom, they get a franchise again. So you were right.
So did the guy that texted me in and said, all the franchise history will go to Salt Lake. No, they're like, we don't want it.
Yeah,
we're not going to buy it. We'll buy the players, and I don't know, if they've got some equipment, we'll probably buy that too. But this is it's weird because it's not an expansion. And they're not really called. I guess it's a relocation.
It's going to be a very interesting chapter for the NHL statisticians.
It's not an expansion team, but it's a new team, which is weird.
But it's not.
But there's a relocation fee.
But it's not.
Yeah.
But it is.
This is a uniquely brokered deal.
This is a classic NHL deal.
People have been comparing it to the Browns move.
Sure.
Right, in the NFL.
It's not
that far off.
You
knew they were getting a team back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of throws the whole history thing
but
into a
room. Now it's like the original Winnipeg Jets era, which belongs
to the
Arizona Coyotes,
yeah.
will have no affiliation with the Utah organization, even though Utah is inheriting all of the team players and intellectual property from the previous.
But they're not taking the intellectual property.
Sorry,
because like the logos property. And the brands
they're
are still remaining with Morello in like a safe in Arizona or
I
something.
I misspoke. The actual phrase is hockey operations assets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're selling. Now, interestingly enough, it sounds like the Utah hockey team will be called the Utah hockey team, at least for year one. They're just going to have Utah across the front of the jerseys.
So they're not going to actually go with a name?
Not year. What are you?
They're doing a Washington football club.
Every day is what we learn from.
That's right.
That's so ridiculous.
They're just going to be Utah next year.
Well, they got to brand the whole thing, right? Like, they don't want to
rush
us.
The branding.
Throw in some MS paint. We'll be fine.
That's exactly what they don't want to do.
Hell, I'll brand it for you.
What you just.
Give me $5.
Just AI generate something. Come on,
Andy, the scenario you just laid out is exactly what the team is trying to avoid. So they have applied.
Well, I mean, the Washington Commanders did this for a while, right? They were the Washington football
team. And how were jersey sales during that time period?
Terrific.
Terrific.
I don't know.
I got a buddy.
Probably not very good.
I got a buddy. Shout out Adam. I think he listens quite frequently. He's a huge Washington fan. And he went out and accumulated some Washington football team gear during that brief tenure where they weren't the Redskins and they weren't the Commanders. And now it's like collector's item stuff. WFT on a shirt in Burgundy.
Yeah.
So next year's Utah jersey that just says Utah will be a collector's item sometime.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the way,
well, it's like the PWHL, right? They kind of scrapped the names and
they didn't want to rush it.
Just went with the cities.
Wyshynski did throw out there that courtesy the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the following names have been applied for: Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, which I don't hate.
That's not awful.
Utah HC.
And that's Hockey Club.
And then Utah Hockey Club.
But they missed out Utah Yeti, which is the best one.
I think that there might be a trademarking issue there.
Maybe. Vladdy said Utah Saints, which I don't mind.
One
listener
Saints.
Suggested Utah Storm and Mormons, which really rolls off the tongue.
I think they want to try and remove the religious overtones.
Well, Saints are going to help that.
Utah, I really do like Utah Yeti, but yeah, you're right. Maybe there is a.
Isn't Yetis plural, though? Like,
well, who cares?
No, yeah, I think Yeti. You have to go Yeti singular.
It's not like Kraken.
Yeti?
Utah Yeti.
Add an S to the end.
I believe it's Yeti. Okay, you bring up a good point with the religious overtones of Saints, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Are Saints less, I guess they're not, less like singularly focused? What's the word I'm looking for? Denominational, right?
Saints. Could be any.
But Saints are largely like Catholic.
I just think of the Spruce Grove Saints. They've got a pretty sweet logo.
I don't know.
Weren't the Utah Saints like a music band, like an electronic music band?
I've never heard of the Utah Saints.
Utah Saints! You ever hear that? Part of a song? No? Come on.
Oh!
Someone
yeah,
know.
You're
yeah,
right.
The Utah Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're an English electronic music duo.
Mm-hmm. What was the song they had?
I don't know.
There was one in the, I want to say it was something in the 90s. At any rate.
Whatever the case, we can't play.
Oh, I want to be in that rumba. Find a Saint go over there. Oh, over
perfect
there.
Goal song right there.
Oh, over there.
All right, give us a moo cow on that. We'll be back on the other side with a discussion of my Ask Us Anything that has generated a lot of feedback into the Nubar Lumber text line.
Oh, also, we'll give away the gift card to Not Jason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So send in your Ask Us Anythings with the pizza emoji. It's your last chance. We're going to pick a winner soon. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
JanPro are the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no-obligation quote. Visit them on the internet at janpro.ca.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Kelowna, California. West Coast.
Yeah. Kelowna, baby. Best place in the world right here.
Kelowna fun, yeah. Kelowna fun, yeah. Kelowna fun, yeah. Fun, yeah. Kelowna fun, yeah.
Hey, 32 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford Brough for the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. It is what we learned in Ask Us Anything time. Hour three is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. We're going to start by firing up the dot matrix. What we learn, as always, are brought to you by Get Fire Plan. Protect what matters most with comprehensive fire safety plans. Monthly audits and risk mitigation at $200 off. Visit them at getfireplan.com.
Oh, my God! We're having a fire!
Plan.
Okay, the winner of a $100 gift card to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. Try AJ's traditional New York pizza or sink into their famous Detroit Ronnie Pizza, only at AJ's Pizza. Order online at AJ's.pizza. The winner is Jason.
Congratulations to Matt in Ladner, who texts this in, and we can discuss this. Do you think the quote-unquote, is this season a success if they get knocked out early conversation is directly related to a potentially very short quote-unquote window of opportunity? How long do you think this current squad's window is open and why? I think that's part of it. I think it's a very fair topic to debate about how long the window is open for this team. Jim Rutherford, in a conversation with Ian McIntyre right before the playoffs, said something along the lines of, I think this is just the start for this group.
Sure.
But a lot of things have to happen for this just to be the start. They need to keep developing young players, or maybe start developing young players in the AHL. They have to do a better job of that. They need to keep hitting on their free agent signings and make sure they choose wisely with the money they spend. And then it comes down to their core players and whether or not their core players are going to remain elite players in the NHL. Right now it looks very good, obviously, with Quinn Hughes probably going to win the Norris Trophy, JT Miller playing the best hockey of his career. You know, he was voted the most exciting player. He was voted the MVP of the team by the fans. You've got Thatcher Demko in goal. And then you've got Elias Pettersson, who at sometimes looks like an incredible player and other times looks like a player who's struggling a little bit with, I don't know, something with the game, whether it's mental or whatever. But they just locked into Pettersson, right? So all those players need to keep remaining. They need to be players like they're paid and expected to be. You know, a lot of this season we can talk about the job that Rick Tocchet did as a coach, and definitely he did an incredible job. We can talk about the free agent signings and all the additions, and certainly great decisions on almost all of them by management. This is all important, but at the end of the day, the health and the quality of play from the core players is probably the most important factor for the team.
Hold on.
Hughes as a Norris Trophy guy, JT Miller playing the way he did, Pettersson playing the way he did for the first part of the season at least, and then Thatcher Demko being the goalie that we all knew he could play. I mean, that without, if you're not getting those, you know, you can have a good coach and you can make good signings, but you're not going to be a very good team.
That was a lovely soliloquy. What was the actual question, though?
The question is, you know, how long is the window of opportunity for this team?
Right. My answer would be 2027, because that's the last year that Quinn Hughes is making $7.85 million. I'd say this year and three more years. And if it's about the window being open, I'd say the window is going to be open for the next, this postseason and the three following. That's mine.
But things can happen. Look at the New Jersey Devils, right?
But
they lost some key guys.
But the Devils' window is still open. What I was going to say was, there are differing levels to which the window is open. Sometimes it's only open a crack. Sometimes it's open wider. I would say this postseason is one of the wider ones. We've said it a few times on this show. Not sure that the team will ever be as
Loaded is the right word. I don't know, but they have several guys that are on really good contracts right now that might not be on those good contracts down the road. They got several guys that are putting up career years. Yeah. And it, but for me, if you want to boil it down to the most simple thing, their best player is Quinn Hughes. He's on a steal of a contract that's only going to get more steelier, not a word, until 2027. If you can get a Norris Trophy guy, and quite honestly, a guy that should get Hart votes, for less than $8 million in, when salaries are going to rise. Yeah, the cap's going to rise, but so too are salaries. That's your window.
I know I'm guilty sometimes of looking ahead too much and, you know, almost taking too much of a big picture approach. And I think the reason I say I'm guilty of that is we just, you can't predict the future, man. Like,
no.
You just can't. Like, nobody saw this team coming, and I think when you have the opportunity, you can't even think at all about the future, whether it's promising or whether it's not promising, because you just never know. And I talk about the Canucks have been to the finals three times in their history. Two of them were pretty unexpected.
Yes.
82, very unexpected. 94, pretty unexpected. And 2011 was the one where everyone thought, okay.
That was more of a traditional window.
Yeah, that was a traditional window. But think of, and I always bring this up too, think of the Winnipeg Jets. When they lost to Vegas in the conference finals, and I remember thinking,
2018.
That is a, they may come to regret that. Losing to, and I know, you know, and I said at the time, I was like, man, they just lost to an expansion team with a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, they may regret that. And a lot of people, I remember at the time, we were at the different station, we were like, come on, bruv. Like, the Jets are going to be good for a long time. Look at the core. And then, you know what happened? Like, just things happened.
Tyler Myers left.
Well, Bufflin retires. Bufflin. You know, Trouba goes like, I don't even want to be here anymore.
Yep, Ladd gone. Wheeler gone.
Culturally, things fell apart. There were issues in the room.
Line A gone.
And then just things happen, right? Like, that team was at that time. You're like, man, like, but like, professional sports is just such a, I don't know, things just happen. You got something you want to say?
Yeah, who is the winner again? Mark from Ladner?
Matt and Ladner.
Congratulations to Matt and Ladner. Well, we got to keep on track here. Also, he's got the $100 gift card to AJ's. If you want to win a free tab for yourself and a guest at AJ's, they're running a contest. All you got to do is DM or email them at infos@ajs.pizza. What should the name be for the new Utah team in the NHL? Funniest, best, most creative, whatever. It's up to AJ and Teresa to choose the winner. Email them at info@ajs.pizza or get them on Instagram and send them a DM. People have already done it. You could win a free tab at AJ's for you and a guest. And that is a really good time. You run that tab up. I'm not recommending you do that. I love you, AJ and Teresa, but
run it up.
Run it up. Have a good time. Okay, let's. We've already done the dot.
My Ask Us Anything.
Your Ask Us Anything.
Was if you, as an adult, move to Vancouver, and let's say you come here for a work opportunity, and you come here and you start a life here, but you still cheer for the NHL team where you grew up.
Yeah.
So let's say you moved from Alberta and you were a huge Oilers fan growing up and you're still a huge Oilers fan. Let's say you come to Vancouver, you meet someone, you have a family, you have some kids.
Okay.
Should you force your fandom, or should you even encourage your fandom of, in this case it would be the Oilers, on your son or daughter, or should you encourage them to be a fan of their home city? We got
a lot of feedback on this.
So many texts in, and I apologize to all the people that texted in, and we cannot possibly read all your texts. There's a lot of like long texts and stories about, you know, your situation. And there was no big conclusion on it.
Enforce it or they get disowned.
Like there were some people that texted in, and because they're Canucks fans, they are actually listening from a different province. So they've gone to Alberta and they've gone to Ontario and they've had kids, and they say, I just will not let my son or daughter be a Leafs fan if they go to Ontario. And then others that have said, you know, I moved to this city and like it was my decision to move here. And, you know, I don't want my kids cheering for a different team at school than all the other kids. And that's kind of where I am at. Like, I think if I move to Vancouver, right? And maybe this is hard because I actually have never, you know, been in this situation before. But if I moved to Vancouver and I made my kid, let's say, an Oilers fan, and I successfully indoctrinated my child into being an Oilers fan, and then he's at elementary school or high school or whatever, or she's at high school, and then the Canucks go on this huge run. Mm-hmm. So, like, everyone is having so much fun with the Canucks run, and even the teachers are into it. And, you know, like, you have a special day when, you know, math is all about the Canucks. Like, if JT Miller has this many points and your son or daughter, your son or daughter is sitting there going, like,
the Oilers fan.
I'm an Oilers fan, right? Like, that seems to me like a little bit unfair. I was in grade 12 when the Canucks went to the Stanley Cup final in 1994. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was an amazing year for everyone to be into it. And I wouldn't want my child to feel like, I feel like I'm not fully enjoying this.
So they got to be the outcast.
He threw this out there yesterday. And I went down a rabbit hole or two researching and thinking and discussing. And you could really have a big picture, ideological, sociological conversation about this, because what it's really about at its core, and I'm not going to sound like a university professor here, but like there's the assimilation aspect of it,
yeah,
which is, do you want to fit in?
I get it.
Or do you want the thing that...
And that's something you should always tell your child. Do everything you possibly can to fit in.
Yeah, forget everything you know and love.
Assimilate. Go along with the crowd.
Do not be unique.
Feeling
do not stand
that's
out.
Good.
Do not have any hopes and dreams.
Because the other side of the ledger here is, what about the thing that reminds me of where I came from? Right? That's a huge part of this. I've talked to countless people. I got a really good buddy. He's older now. And I have a certain reverence for Montreal in particular in this conversation, because I feel like, you know, all due respect to Leafs and whoever you care about, I don't even care about you, but Montreal, I feel like it's more like a cultural institution because of the history,
sure,
and the language and the riots and everything else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I feel
the
like
riots.
You know what I mean.
We have our riots.
I'm just
different. Part of our culture.
Better riots, more significant riots.
Yeah, yeah. Meaningful riots.
Meaningful riots, right? A bunch of drunk yahoos robbing the big and tall, you know? Anyway.
So much big and tall stuff here.
Anyway, so I feel like if someone moves out here and they're, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool Montreal Canadiens fan, because that's what they grew up with, and it's like
they got Habs stuff all over
Grandpa
the house or whatever.
Pierre, he didn't, you know, he only spoke French to me, and we always talked about the Habs, that kind of thing. I feel like if you carry that on, because it's your reminder of where you came from, that's important. I don't want to diminish that, mm-hmm, right? And if you're passing that lineage along to the next generation, I get it. I absolutely get it. So it would be wrong for me to say don't pass it along to your kids, because all you're really doing is explaining to them who you are.
I don't know. My counterpoint to that is that makes them stronger. Pass it along, force your beliefs onto them, make them cheer for your team. Sure, they'll be the outcast at school, but they'll be stronger.
They will push back on
it.
You so hard.
But he brings up a good point.
You can't do it.
I know.
You can't do it. They will do the opposite.
Yeah. In fact, if you push it on them, they will probably cheer for any other team just to spite you.
1,000%.
Yeah. This show, in
especially if they know it like angers you.
Yeah.
They'd be like,
yeah.
Oh.
Then reverse psychology. I yeah, don't.
But
want
this
you to
show,
I love
but,
some of the text yeah, coming
but
in.
But
though.
This show in particular, like, we're a pretty hyper local show.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Vancouver. This is a Vancouver show. This would not work anywhere else. I mean, it barely works here, but it would not work anywhere else. And that's because we get what it's like to be Vancouverites, because we were born and raised here, and Vancouver Canucks fans.
Yeah.
Right. That is something. That is something that we'll pass on. If I was to go somewhere else, I'd be like, I'm a Vancouver guy. The Canucks are my team. Anyone around me is going to know that. And if it's my spawn, they're sure as hell going to know
Spawn.
Like the comic book character?
Please never call it that.
Brandon in Vancouver, you should definitely force your fandom on the kids. Isn't the point of children to live your dreams through them?
Yes. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
There's another, here's another text. Like every aspect in your children's life, you force your beliefs upon them or kick them out of the house. Very simple. Yeah. I mean, these are being sarcastic for a reason.
Like, sarcastic?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
I don't know. I would just want my kid to enjoy the local experience of the fan base.
I've made it very clear with my daughter, if she becomes a Yankees fan, out of the house immediately.
All right, let's read some other What We Learns. She's going to become a Yankees fan
Absolutely.
Now for sure. What We Learn, unsigned text, Zadorov did not get the memo about playing the game like it's preseason. Yeah, he got in a fight with, who was it, Gabe Vilardi?
Yep.
You think Gabe Vilardi like took on Zadorov? He was like, oh, I made a huge mistake, and the huge mistake is Nikita Zadorov, who is now lying on top of me. Yeah.
Do you guys hear the Eminem song too when you hear Cole Perfetti? I think it was from a tweet once way back in the day, but it's like knees weak, Cole Perfetti. Like that's all I hear.
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, anytime anyone says Cole Perfetti, I just think of Lose Yourself every time.
I never did think of that, but now I do.
It's living rent free in my head. Knees
so how does it go?
Knees weak, Cole Perfetti.
And then what did you say?
Mom's spaghetti.
He's vomiting out spaghetti. His sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
Didn't you wrap it once? Like,
if you guys had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you've ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip?
Kmart M&M over there.
Dollarama.
Matt not on the island. Ask us anything. What were you doing 11 years ago?
What's the significance of 11 years? I saw this one, too.
Well, 11 years ago would have been...
2013.
Yeah, the math's a little bit off.
I think he meant 9 years.
Right.
I think he meant 2015.
Okay.
I don't think he meant 11 years.
He just did the math wrong.
Yeah. But I tell you what you weren't doing 11 years ago, Matt, is math.
Matt texts in, I was still with wife number one and had high hopes. I feel like it did not go well with wife number one for Matt.
So 2015...
We had already made the move to NBC, right?
Oh, yeah. We were entrenched at NBC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that playoff series. I remember going as, actually, a member of the working media, but as NBC in Vancouver.
It was the last time you went to the arena.
Didn't like it. Didn't care for it. Felt worky. I remember that series to me, actually, I remember it with more fondness than I think almost everyone. Because I was entertained by it. I knew the ramifications that you were, but I almost didn't care because it had.
It left me wanting, though. Just because it never.
But it
I don't
ticked.
Know.
Look, just
yeah, there was stuff.
It ticked
that
a lot of the boxes from an entertainment aspect.
Mm-hmm.
There was tons of fights. There was a lot of violence. There was, you know, Bieksa getting into it with Firkland. Like it ticked a lot of boxes. Just at the end, it was very hollow. Very, very hollow. This is an unsigned Ask Us Anything. Came in a while ago. Who do you think is most likely to be upset in the first round? Great question, because the biggest upset on the board would be, in terms of gambling odds, Washington beating the Rangers, correct? The Rangers are the biggest.
For sure, yeah. I don't think that's
going to happen. There's zero chance of that happening. I just don't see a world in which it happens. Now it'll probably happen because I said it. The second biggest would be the Islanders over the Canes, and I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of seeding, and it is they are the favorites, I think Vegas is going to take out Dallas. I think that last year in the Western Conference Final was a good blueprint for it. I think they carried that over to this year when they swept the season series. Yes, two of the three games went to overtime. I also think that Vegas is going to get such a freaking boost. Such a freaking boost.
What a freaking boost.
When Mark Stone comes back into the lineup. By the way, last week I called him Mark Spleen.
He actually has another spleen now. They gave him a backup spleen.
He's got
multiple spleens.
Someone
now
said if Mark Spleen went out with kidney stones, it would be the greatest injury of all time. Alas, it is not. But
he's got a spleen in a jar at the bench.
I think that's going to be all bets are off when your captain comes back for game one and looks just fine, which is exactly what's going to happen.
What do you think is the most evenly matched series? The game, the series where you're like, oh, I just have no idea. Is it Leafs Bruins?
Leafs Bruins, and probably the other one from that from that division, the Bolts and
Panthers.
I don't think there's much to choose from between those two teams.
I think the Lightning really do have a lack of depth up front.
I just don't think there's that big of a gap between the two teams is what I'm saying. Like, I think there's an edge,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's bigger, like, chasms between two teams than those. Like
Jets-Avs?
Jets-Avs, yeah.
Could Jets-Avs go either way. Is great.
Jets-Avs could go either way.
Close,
Jets-Avs
sure.
is great because you could not find two more stylistically different teams in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got the Avs who want to run it up and want to put, and because they have terrible goaltending, they want to, you know, keep the scores high and they want to, you know, play offense. And
they got the Hart Trophy winner probably on their team.
They have maybe the best individual in the playoffs, whereas
yeah.
the
like
the
McKinnon could win that Jets series are, for them. Like, yeah. He's like, that's how good he's playing
the
right
Jets
now.
Offensively.
Like, yeah,
like,
the Jets have more depth.
By committee,
but
right? I think it's, yeah, it's a great matchup. I think the Jets are going to take that one, though.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
As much as I do believe that McKinnon deserves the Hart Trophy over all the worthy candidates out there, it is a great Hart Trophy race. I think he deserves it. But on the whole, you know, the Jets play such a good team game. I think they've got better depth up front than the Avs do. And, you know, the elephant in the room is, like, the goaltending of Winnipeg seems just so much better than Colorado's.
Okay, folks, I want to take a few seconds here to say embrace what we get to do this weekend. It's been 9 years, 9 long years, since the Canucks played a home playoff game at Rogers Arena. And you might not feel it now, and you might not feel it Saturday, but as Sunday starts to creep along and you get closer and closer to 7 o'clock, you'll start to feel it. And then when the game gets underway, there's only those brief moments in time where you really feel it. And the start of game one of the first round of the playoffs is a special thing. So embrace it.
I'm looking
and
forward
enjoy
to sports
it.
Nervousness again. It's been a long time for sports nervousness.
It has
been.
I welcome it back.
84 years.
And here's the thing. On Monday morning, we're going to be the first people to talk about it. So until then, you got anything you want to say to everybody?
Just go Canucks, go. Like, we've waited a long time, and enjoy Sunday. If you're going to the game, enjoy the atmosphere. Be loud. Be part of it. And if you're just watching on TV, enjoy the spectacle of the playoffs being back at Rogers Arena.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Brough. He's been A-Dog, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.